Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today I have not one, but two very special guests.
Very.
I've got my brother and sister in the studio. It's Georgina and Mario Falcone.
We finally made it.
Took years. Yeah, we're on series like 500, but we finally made it. Here we are.
I honestly don't know what's going to happen over the next hour, but I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Good.
Here we go.
Good. Okay. How are you both?
Good. Tired?
Well, this is going to be a long hour if you're going to give me one-word answers.
I'm very good.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
I'm here with you two. What could I want?
Isn't that sweet?
Starting off nice.
I love the fact, though, that, you know, for us to spend any time together that we can actually talk in and not have the kids around, it's got to be work-related now.
It has.
Either we're making a TV show or we're in a studio.
This is true. Or they're in bed.
True. Oh, that's true. We can get together.
But then can still come downstairs. So.
I mean, we're better off in like a studio with a door that's completely shut.
Yeah.
People can't get to us.
I was more for Italy with limoncello and stuff. But it's 11 a.m.
I didn't even know it was a limoncello.
Oh.
This has made it way more fun.
It's 12 o'clock in Italy.
True. It's very true.
Well, now we're actually a couple of episodes of Joanna Fletcher Made in Italy out on ITVB. How are you feeling seeing it back?
I love it. Makes me really miss it, though.
It does make me miss it. And you two are actually quite funny, you know.
And we've been edited well.
Yeah, in
really
the moment,
well.
You can appreciate it. But
really
back,
well.
It's
like,
funny
I literally sat there thinking, oh, my God, you two are actually all right. I've got you wrong.
Listen. When you're in the moment, you're like, where's my joke? Where's my joke? Where's my joke?
I've said one. I didn't catch it.
You take after us, didn't Mario? Like Pete Dillon.
Mario. And you take after Nan.
Okay, let's talk about our childhood. It's a shared childhood experience.
It is.
Straight in.
We're going in. How was our childhood, guys?
Well, I think actually it's very evident our childhood was actually really good because of the way we are together.
Yeah, exactly. And with our children, yeah.
So obviously growing up, I think you've got loads of outside people at school and stuff, and those relationships can be problematic at times. Mm. For me, my childhood was you two. You know, whatever we were doing, whether we were making up a radio show on our little Fisher-Price recorder or, you know, going outside in Mum's heels, Mario.
still do. They're a little bit small now, but they still do the trick.
You know, you are a part of that. You're heavily, that my childhood is you.
Yeah, it's true. I can remember loads of us playing when we were younger. I've got loads of memories.
Yeah.
Us dancing in the window.
Yeah.
Doing those little silhouettes in the neighbour over the road.
That we fancied.
Yeah.
Wasn't the guy who lives across the road like a six-year-old doctor? Whether floats your boat.
This was like pre-12.
Yeah, but this is in Barkingside, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'd have been way too young.
Yeah, you were too young.
I can't remember that. I can remember Ingatestone more.
Yeah. Were you six when we moved to Ingatestone?
I was 11. So how much?
Six,
yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to Dad about how much he moved within the first, like, whilst we were kids.
Yeah, loads.
Because we were all born in separate places, like different places.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a lot of moving with little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't.
God, moving's annoying as well.
Have you moved since having Parker?
No, Becky was pregnant when we moved.
Okay.
She was 5 months pregnant. That was still a headache.
And have you moved once?
I moved when I was pregnant with Dylan.
Yeah.
8 months pregnant.
they move so much.
You would be. Well, we're going to move again when Becky's 8.5 months pregnant.
So, Yeah, but I wonder if that moving is kind of why we were so sort of cemented together.
Yeah, I don't remember all the houses though. I remember us living above the Caff.
Yeah, Cannon Town.
See, I don't remember that.
I do because someone, probably Uncle Anselm, played the Poltergeist film one night and definitely took it in on a level that I shouldn't have taken in, thought things were going to come out of TVs for many years. And I can remember being downstairs in the Caff and having to run past the lounge every time I went past it just in case something was going to come out of the TV and get me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a vivid memory. You okay?
And now I just can't be in the lounge.
Thinking about it again now.
We just become new viewers. We've been on 5 minutes. How you doing? It's that podcast. How you doing? You okay?
Do you want to cry about it?
Yeah, traumatised films from childhood. You okay?
Oh, gosh. So our childhood, though, and our relationship with Mum and Dad, did it make you look ahead to you as parents and what that would be like and, you know, how you'd be as a dad and as a mum? Did you always think it was going to be a part of your future? Because, Georgie, growing up, you were very much footloose, fancy free.
Oh, yeah, party animal.
Well, you were.
I was a lot more civilised.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I always knew I wanted to settle down and have kids.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen when I thought it would happen. So then I kind of just forgot about it for ages.
I can remember your 29th birthday.
No, it was 20.
It was your 29th, because the year later you
good memory.
And Georgie being like, so first of all, she was meant to come meet us for dinner.
Oh, God.
And we were going to Lomita, remember?
Yeah.
And Georgie texts, like, when we were meant to be going, and said, oh, I'm going to stay for work for a drink, so let's push it back later. I was like, great. And then we pushed the table back, I think, to 9:30 eventually, because it just kept getting pushed back. Georgie turns up, just eats our scraps from our plate.
Absolutely wasted.
And then just starts crying. We're like, if I had £4,000, I'd just go and travel right now. Because, you know, what's going on in life? If I had £6,000. But, if, you know, and I think we all have in our heads that we have to be meet a person by this age, get married by this age.
Exactly. Like,
I had 26 in my head because you had said that when we were kids.
Yeah. But then now I look back, I travelled. I did loads of other stuff because of that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm actually a better parent because I've, you know.
Yeah, you don't feel like you've missed out.
No, exactly.
No, you're ready.
Yeah. So I met with Liam when I was literally just about to turn 30.
Mm-hmm.
Had somewhere at 33, Dylan at 30
something. 30 something.
37.
You covered it.
37, 36?
36, you're just about to turn 37.
Yeah. And I think I'm a better parent because of that. I feel like now I wish I'd told my younger self, stop stressing, enjoy life, travel, and then it would just happen. Because it did.
Yeah.
Now I'm knackered. Yeah. Not because I'm hungover, because I've got two kids.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I had much more of a calmer upbringing than Georgie. Yeah, I wasn't
everything
out a lot.
Compared to me.
Yeah, just I wasn't out a lot, gallivanting and womanising.
No, not at all.
Not at all, no. Just at home.
Yeah, having
looks.
Two older sisters really did help you in your approach to dating and everything.
You really did.
Yeah.
What were you two doing?
All those times that we cried over boys.
Yeah.
You know. I was with the boys.
And you were so protective as well. No, you were really protective.
It was you and my sisters.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
They're not.
Okay.
But it's different. It's a different time. Come on.
Yeah. No, we're older, we're wiser.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'd say, actually, Mum and Dad and the way we were brought up prepared me to be a father. But I'd say more that my trial run and most of my knowledge on probably parenting that's more this day and age would come from you two. Because obviously I was an uncle to, well, mainly Buzz and Buddy before, because Max was so close to Parker, and obviously then Summer Rae and Dylan followed Parker afterwards. So I'd say actually the reason I'm the father that I am, and I like to believe I'm a good father, I do the best I can, is more because of you two as opposed to just Mum and Dad.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, you having Buzz first definitely told me what I need to do.
Yeah, it's a trial run. Like, the thing is, you just give him back.
He was a trial run. And
get it wrong, like, well, there you go.
Buddy was like 7 months older than Summer Rae.
Mm-hmm.
So then not only did I get all the hand-me-downs, but also all your trial and errors.
Yeah.
I learnt from.
You live with us in Summer Rae.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, yeah. You literally mothered Summer Rae with me. I had a C-section. Living with you.
Your laugh after your C-section was the best.
I was like, oh, I was like, oh. I had so much to laugh. I had to hold my C-section scar. Literally like,
You sound like Santa.
But all she did when she was like heavily pregnant and then when Summer arrived was watch Impractical Jokers on repeat. So she was watching something that made her laugh even though she couldn't laugh.
But it was great having you, because you were literally like, you need to feed Summer now, because I literally had no idea what was going on because I was on loads of painkillers. So I was like, oh, do I have Summer? Strana, she's still asleep. Should I wake her up for feed? You're like, no. If she wake up when she's hungry, like, okay. But literally, it's
not. I can remember the health visitor coming to visit you as well.
So horrible to me.
Yeah.
And then you sticking up for me.
Mm.
She's being nasty. I'm not sure.
She was nasty.
Because I was using nipple covers.
I was like, I use nipple covers. And he fed fine.
And apparently Summer Rae wasn't being fed enough.
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was horrible, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was mean. Mm. Yeah, she was. Do you think there is
that... Matt's gone quiet with a nipple cover chat.
It's on my back. Embrace them, embrace them.
Embrace the nipples and the nipple covers.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think there's that thing, when we see our friends and stuff having babies, you go over and you visit for an hour and it's all lovely, you get to cuddle the baby. Whereas actually when it's a sibling that has a baby, you're there for longer.
It's different because as an uncle, they're going to be part of your life forever.
Yeah.
You're always going to be there for them. Mm. You're always going to be, you know, you're going to watch them grow up like you do your own children.
Mm.
So therefore, you're a lot more invested than just a cuddle.
Yeah.
You want to do the other things. I love bathing Buzz.
Mm.
That's how I learned to bath Parker.
Yeah.
All those sort of things you love doing because you love them. Different than just your friends. Obviously, you love them, you care about them, but they feel like they're your kids as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like when I had Summer Rae, she was like my second child.
Yeah.
So I was a bit more too about stuff.
Yeah.
Because... and everything was fine with Buzz.
But for you two starting on your own sort of parenthood journeys, Georgie, I mean, you'd lived a nice, fruitful life before that.
Yeah.
You and Chickpea.
Makes me sound like a slut.
No.
Is that not
that's not what I meant.
She's a fruit bowl, not a fruit bowl.
Yeah.
Whoa! My wife's going to watch this.
But so it's a different pace. So making that decision, you know, now is the right time to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember taking that leap and having that chat with Chickpea?
I think we were both friendly for kids.
Yeah.
So I knew things were going to change. But, I mean, the biggest change I didn't think about is that you're not on your own anymore. So you never get like me time.
Yeah.
And I realised that before, I quite liked being on my own. Even when I moved in with Lee, it's really weird. I mean, when we first moved in together, he just followed me everywhere. So I'm in the kitchen. He's like, right.
I can still imagine Chickpea doing that as well.
I was like, oh my God, you're literally... He's like, what are you doing here? I was like, just in the kitchen.
I'm having a wee.
Well, now I can't really lie, that's for sure. But it's really weird, like how... But you know, the thing that's changed is you're never alone and you can't just pop out for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So for me, what did you ask me?
I asked you about the step to deciding you actually wanted children.
Oh, they were actually wanting children. Yeah. I think I just knew I was going to turn 30. I wanted to be married.
Yeah.
Before I had kids.
Yeah.
Just because, please, Dad. And then 33 was my, I want to have kids by the time I'm 33.
Yeah.
So we knew that was going to happen and then it just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky we got pregnant quite quickly with Summer Rae.
Yeah. Did you get pregnant quite quickly with Dylan?
Yeah, it took a few months. We were quite well lucky, touch wood.
Yeah.
Literally.
I don't want
Oh my God. How did that take so long?
I thought that literally was to the lucky bit. It's only with the touch wood.
Yeah, so we knew. So I was really prepared for it.
Yeah.
And I think I've been waiting for it. So I was really excited because I, you know, Buzz and Buddy. So yeah, for me.
You're ready.
Yeah, but it is a game changer.
It is. Mario, what about you and Becky?
That was actually quite a struggle. I proposed to Becky and then we found a venue that we liked. It was 2 years away till we could get married. So we got back in the car after we'd seen the venue and it was very much an elephant in the room of, well, should we try and have a kid? And I was like, right now? And then
did you get excited about the sex element of having like trying for a baby?
Absolutely not. It's the worst sex in the world.
Yeah. But before you actually, it is the worst sex in the world.
In
but
your head, you're like, I'm going to get laid a lot. This is going to be great. She's going to be on me for once. But it wasn't that. It was not that. And the thing is, we tried for like 6 months and nothing happened. We were both getting really stressed. So we went to the fertility clinic more just to see if there was anything wrong.
I remember you telling me about the fertility clinic.
It was madness. The whole thing was mad. So it was a Tuesday. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a Tuesday. Becky drove. She drove me to...
How are you going to word this?
How am I allowed to word it?
However you like.
To have a wank. It was crazy. It was like a treat. I'm in a relationship. We don't do that much anymore.
I remember you telling me about the amount of things on offer as well.
I went there thinking, you know, old school magazines, fine.
Use your imagination.
Use your imagination, fine. It's been a while, so we'll just go. But literally, jazz hands. The woman took me into the room, and there was a TV, and there was a selection. I thought, brunette woman. I was like, okay, she's not cheating. Becky brunette.
How long have I got?
Yeah, pretty much. Didn't take long. I swear to God, the woman didn't even take off her bra when I was done. So I came back out. I came back out of the room, and the woman was like, "Is everything all right?" I was like, "Yeah, dandy." And that was it. And they said everything was fine, and you had to stop stressing and putting so much pressure on it. And that was what it became. It became this whole thing of every single time, every month came round, Becky, but I'm ovulating. Mm. And then I'm sure other guys will relate to the fact when you are told to ejaculate, or you have to, it becomes actually quite a task because all you're thinking about whilst you're, you know, pounding away, is that I need to ejaculate and I can't. So then all of a sudden your mind's not on what you're doing. It's actually the complete opposite. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're failing your partner because you can't perform. Then as soon as we went to the thing and they just said, relax, I just said, we both just made the decision that if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that was in like January. And then in March, we were in Barbados and that was when we found out that she was. And that was just literally from stopping trying and stopping putting so much pressure on each other.
It's very hard, isn't it, when you hear don't stress as something that will help you, you know, have a baby. So all you can do is stress. How can you not stress? Yeah. How do you tell yourself not to stress? Because then you're stressing about not stressing.
I think as well, when you've got other people around you, whether it be your family or your friends that are easily falling pregnant, that's another thing that then adds another layer of weight onto your shoulders that you feel that you're like the unlucky one. You're the one that can't. But it was weird. After we saw the doctor and he was like, everything's fine. Because then that whole time as well, you're thinking, oh, can I have kids? Mm. Is there something wrong with me? Then you think, is it going to affect my relationship? Because if I'm able to have kids, you still want to be me. So all these things playing on your mind the whole time. So once you were told everything was fine, then it just become more of an enjoyment thing. And then that was it.
You know it's going to happen at some point.
And it did. Mm. So
do you think talking about fertility is harder for men than women?
Yeah, I think so, because I feel like...
I feel like women have a lot of... There's a lot of places to go now.
There's a lot of go-tos.
Yeah.
Well, men, I don't feel there is. Like, when I spoke to my boys about it, obviously what I've just spoke about, because a lot of them have been in the same situation where their wives or their partners are ovulating and it's go time. And they're like, yeah, it ain't go time.
It ain't
like they're sitting in the bath and crying like...
Come back in.
You're finally
taking longer than 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. When you're not ovulating, it's easy. Yeah, but then, but we've had that conversation with like my friends and we all related to it. It was all quite funny. But I feel like, as we know, when it comes to anything with men just do generally struggle to speak openly, whether it be to their friends or to anybody. So,
well, because even what you've just said, like you can talk about the clinic stuff with loads of banter and make it really, really funny, but actually how you're feeling and how that, what the actual emotional impact 100%. Is.
Yeah, but then I feel like it's different for me to, I can sit here and have the funny side of it and talk about the emotional side because I have Parker.
Yeah.
For me, fundamentally, I ended up having the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Whereas I understand that a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah.
So I understand how hard that is, that process is. And it isn't just a short thing either. Like, even now with the baby that's coming.
We need a baby in the family.
I thought we were going to act all surprises and stuff.
This is brand new information.
Oh, my God. So this baby that's coming. Sorry, George, I'm going to let you speak. We'll come back to you, mate. we had IVF. And that was a really, really, actually, I had this thing in my head when we were trying for baby two, because with this added pressure of, we felt like we were letting Parker down, that he was so ready for a sibling when he's around his cousins and he loves being around him. He then comes home and says, well, haven't I got a brother or a sister? And that kills you. It literally kills you inside because you're like, oh, I can give you anything you want as my son. Anything that money, I can give you that. But this is the one thing I actually can't give you.
Yeah.
So we both felt really guilty. And as time was flying by, you know, it's getting a lot worse and putting a bit of pressure on our relationship and stuff as well. So then we spoke and went to the fertility king again, but this time more, we didn't have IVF. Not because there was anything wrong, but more probably because of impatience. And then because of the added stress of impatience, nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. So we went through that process and I had this thing in my head when we first signed up to do it and once again, got to go have a wank on a maybe a Thursday.
That was all your idea, wasn't it? Yeah.
Got to get him in. Money well spent. They just make a place.
So
that
was a really expensive wank.
Really expensive. Really expensive. And I had this thing in my head that once you do the first bit, it's just it, done. In a month's time, you're going to have a baby. And it wasn't that. There was this whole thing of Becky had to take all these hormone injections and then you had to get your hormone levels right because at one stage her hormones were too high, then they were too low. So that whole process of getting anywhere near where she needed to be before we could have an embryo transfer was months.
Yeah.
And then she finally fell pregnant with IVF. And then we had one thing at 7 weeks where she had a bleed and I can't remember what it was called, but we went to have it checked and everything was fine. The baby was fine, but there was, I can't remember what it was called off the top of my head. But they said everything was fine. And then it all cleared up and it was fine. Then about a week and a half later, it happened again. And then we went in for a scan thinking that it was all going to be fine. Mm. But it wasn't. She had a miscarriage. And that was probably the hardest thing, I think, that we've had to deal with in our relationship. Because it's a disappointment of yourselves. Because we got really excited about telling our families at Christmas. We had these little cards made that unfortunately came the next day. And then, yeah, it was that. And obviously then you had the disappointment again with Parker. But we hadn't told Parker this on that one. Then it was obviously the process where Becky had to go to hospital on her own and let it come out. And I couldn't be there for her. We wanted to keep things as normal for Parker as possible. So we decided the best way of doing that was me just to spend a day with Parker and Becky to be there. So then after that, it wasn't like you just had 8.5 weeks where you'd had a miscarriage. It was 6 months of
Hope,
injections, and trying to get everything in the right place for you so you could actually start the journey. And then we started the journey, and then obviously it didn't happen. So
you
then
see all your future together, don't you?
Well, you just start envisioning everything.
Yeah, it's like fantasising, isn't it?
Then that baby would have been due in July, so then we were going to cancel the wedding. Mm. And like I said, we had things printed off to surprise everyone with the family, and you already started envisioning what Park would be like as a brother. So then I said to Becky, let's just, because it's really weird, because we'd phoned up on that day before she had the bleed and said, can we cancel the wedding? Can we push it back another year?
Yeah.
And then obviously that evening's when it happened. So then I said to her, when obviously that will happen, I said, listen, let's take a break from this because it's been 6 months. It's been really hard on you. So let's actually just look forward to the wedding. Let's have the wedding and revisit this afterwards because it's actually taken centre stage of everything in our lives. And there's so much good in our lives that we weren't focusing on. And we were just putting so much emphasis on having another baby that it just become really unenjoyable.
Yeah.
And the joy from having another baby actually wasn't joy. It was actually quite a burden and really upsetting. So we got married, obviously. It was really nice.
Do you also think having the wedding made people ask less? Because we all know that as soon as you're in a relationship, if you get married or whatever, people are asking you straight away. Then when you have one, they're asking straight away when you get another one.
No, they ask you, literally holding your newborn baby.
Yeah.
Another one.
We're still bleeding down there.
I don't know this one yet.
Yeah, I think once we said we're having the wedding, nobody asked about kids anymore.
Yeah.
Even within family that knew that what happened, no one asked. Everyone was just very excited for the wedding. And after the wedding, we tried one more time, but without any medication, and it didn't work at all, didn't work. And then obviously this time, the third time, it's worked. I mean, she'll be 16 weeks when this goes out. So, and it's been nice because now this time, everything sort of felt different. It's felt a lot more relaxed. It sort of feels like we got to sort of recharge and re-prepare ourselves for, it's not even a journey, it's a battle. That's the thing, that's the difference, it is, because there's so many curveballs that you don't see and, and it's really hard. And I feel like even when you fall pregnant naturally, every single week feels like it takes ages. And everyone always says, when you see someone who's pregnant, I feel like they've been pregnant for ages. But when you're actually the person who's pregnant or the partner of the person who's pregnant, it feels like ages. Mm-hmm. So with the IVF journey as well, it's felt like it's been so long to get to when you want to be at 12 weeks where your chance of, you know, miscarriage or anything going wrong drops significantly. So, and because everything sort of felt this different this time, that's why we were a lot more confident in taking Parker to the scans. And when he heard the baby's heartbeat, he got really excited and he saw it on the screen. And it was one of those moments where it made everything that's sort of happened in the last year and the journey and the disappointments really worth it. And I feel like when the next baby comes, even though it's been hard. I feel like we'll appreciate that baby so much more,
yeah,
just because of how hard it is, how hard it's been, and how much we've been through to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, and it's cost a lot of money. So this baby better be like Prime Minister or something. No,
it does blow my mind though that Becky's miscarriage and my miscarriage were on the same day, but 9 years apart.
Yep.
That crazy. Blows my mind.
Yeah. I think as guys, we underestimate. We see it and we support it when women go for pregnancy, and at the end it's all jubilation because everybody's happy. But I feel like as guys, we don't actually see how hard it is when a woman has a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Because I saw Becky broken, and I think that's the only time in our relationship where I haven't been able to lift her, whether it be, you know, as we've seen, I'm quite funny now and again.
Really?
But
not seen it.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes.
You should watch the show, Mum. Fran Fletcher, maybe. 8 p.m. ITVB, Sundays. But yeah, I felt like I couldn't lift her out of that.
Yeah.
And that was really hard. And I think as men, we don't actually realise the toll it takes on your body, but more importantly, your emotions and how much, even though we feel disappointment, times that by a million.
Yeah.
Because your body's gearing up to do something that's the most magical thing that, you know, we have in life. And then all of a sudden you don't have that.
Yeah.
It doesn't just stop though, does it? Your body's still not right for ages.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Anyway, should we light the line a little bit?
Let's talk about actually having our kids, shall we?
He went.
Did you fill it back with a joke?
Yeah. Chandler style.
I can remember George going into labour. Because we'd just gone to Dad's and eaten loads of food. And Georgie had a tummy ache. And I can remember hearing her come down the stairs at like 11 o'clock at night. And I followed her down. And I was like, Georgie, you all right? She was like, yeah, I'm just having really bad period pains. I was like, I think that's a contraction. And we should probably call the hospital. Because you booked in for a C-section and a section in like a week.
Yeah, I didn't realise, and I kept saying to you, my back really hurts. I keep getting these sharp pains.
But you couldn't
and
breathe.
Like, have you packed your overnight bag yet? I was 37 plus three, whatever it was at that time. I remember going back to bed for a little bit, and then I phoned the hospital, and my waters are broken. Do you remember? I didn't realise that I had a little bit of dribble. I thought it was going to be like the movies, like.
Do you want a drink or anything?
Limoncello?
Yeah.
But I didn't have that. I remember getting out of bed that morning and being like, "Oh, just wet myself a bit," and then kind of
took her back to the old days when she was getting drunk.
Yeah, I kind of just like glazed over it, and then when I phoned the midwife to say I'm having these contractions, this part, and then she's like, "Have your waters broken at all?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, this morning I weaned myself a bit more." And she's like, "You need to come to hospital right now."
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was going, "Bradley's going to have a shower." and it was nighttime.
Get in the car, chickpea. Get in the car.
Yeah, I remember us going there, and we had to park. Do you remember across the road? And I had to keep stopping every now and then for contractions. And even though I knew I was having a C-section, weirdly, two babies. Obviously, I tried to do VBAC with Dylan, but ended up having a C-section. But with Summer Rae, because I'd done all my hypnobirthing and I was so relaxed. I remember I'd laughed the whole time.
It was the funniest thing ever. It was like being in a comedy
show.
Yeah,
the people next to us must have been like, what is going on there? Lee was pretending to be a surgeon. Do you remember? He kept pretending to like bring me back to life. I was just laughing the whole time. I had no painkillers. Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And she kept coming in and said, so let me know you had to have a C-section, but there's an emergency at the moment. And so the fact that you're fine, we won't open up another theatre. We'll just like ride the wave.
Yeah.
And you kept looking at the chart saying, George, your contractions are really close together.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you're 8 centimetres. Like, we need to get you down to theatre. I was like, oh, my God. Like,
was Emma Ray stuck in your ribcage?
So because she was breech and he was going to have a C-section, and they wanted to do that, I can't remember what it's called, EV something, where they, from the outside, try
and manipulate
flip her around.
It's quite painful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
And it's quite distressing for the baby, and the success rate is like...
They can turn back.
40% or something ridiculous like that. And I'm so glad I said no, because...
Especially if her head was up there.
Yeah, like, when they did the C-section, I had to call another surgeon in because her head was stuck under my ribs. So when they had to put pressure on one side of my ribs, and she literally popped when her head came out. So imagine if they tried to turn her from the outside and decapitated her or something.
Mm.
So I definitely feel like she was supposed to... be like, I'm glad I did C-section. And it's funny because she obviously was like 2.5 weeks early. Lee's mum said to me, what's nice is that even though you were having a C-section, she came on the day she wanted to come.
No.
And I was like, oh, yeah. At the time, I was like, oh, she's really early.
Yeah.
Yeah, but ironically, with Dylan, I was trying to do VBAC and I was contracting all the same. My waters really broke with him and I didn't dilate. So I tried to do it naturally for like 48 hours and then ended up having a C-section. I literally didn't go past like 3 centimetres. But with Summer Rae, I had gone all the way.
Yeah.
So obviously you weren't there, and Lee wasn't making me laugh. Lee was actually asleep the whole time.
He told his banner on Summer Rae.
Yeah, I've got to say, I can remember. So I was in the Himalayas at the time with Copperfield.
Oh,
we were on a trek, and I was having a really difficult day, and the signal was like in and out. And I can remember getting to the top of this mountain and a text coming through to say that you'd given birth, and just bawling my eyes out, just be like, it's here. Because I do think there's that thing actually when, you know, the more that you are invested in birth, the more birth stories you hear, you realise that it's a fucking miracle when a child is born and
they
are
safe. Did you just F-bomb?
Yes, this will now have an E little thing next to the...
Oh, it won't beep.
If we just put a little E so that people know that there might be a little bit of...
I said wank.
Yeah, come on, we're already there.
Twice.
I said it once. And I said it again to say.
We just want to sit here and swear just because we can. We're such kids. But there is that thing, isn't it? So I think when you do hear of a baby being born and it's someone that you love, you just literally just like, this is a miracle.
Yeah. I remember going out for dinner when you were in labour with Buzz. And I literally had my phone there just like looking. And then when I got the picture through, I was crying my eyes out. And then we had to tell the waiters what was going on because they were like, this time just with an argument. I was like, oh my God.
Her steak was undercooked.
Dear. Mario, what was Becky's labour like with Parker Jacks?
I was all right. I'm joking. Yeah, I remember it. I was sleeping.
It's good that you remember it. Good start.
Yeah. Good start. It was really good. So I was sleeping in a spare room because Becky was continuously snoring at the time. Sorry, Becky. The world deserves to know. Should have unloaded the dishwasher this morning. So, yeah, she came in and was like, are you ready to be a daddy?
God. I said it once, Mike, on the TV show.
You said it so many times.
Daddy
so
loves many
times. There's like a whole like, 5 minute reel of you saying it. So then we were downstairs and she was doing her hypnobirthing breathing. And I was on the phone to the hospital and they were saying, yeah, right, bring her in. And that was fine. And then, yeah, Becky suffered a lot with the pain. A lot. So I remember they gave her morphine in her leg. And she was like, oh, that's amazing. Then like 5 minutes later, she was like, Mario, come here. I was like, what's wrong? She was like, see if you can get me another one. The woman was like, I said, can she have some more morphine? The woman was like, absolutely not. Just had it 5 minutes ago. She's like, just see if you give me a half. I was like, no, absolutely not. I was just standing like, it's amazing, the guy thing, that when you go in to labour, you see it then, you're like,
gotta see what that's like.
Yeah,
so good. I think the labour.
Were Becky's mum and our mum there at the time?
So I called our mum just to say, look, we're in labour, can you go to the house more just to look after the dog to make sure everything was okay
when we came home? I was about to look after Parker, but obviously he was here at the time.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. And then, yeah, I called Sandy because at one stage, I'm sitting there, Becky's literally got me by the scruff of the neck, like, you did this to me.
Yeah.
We're trying to go for a hit the birth and stuff, like, surge breath. I'm fine.
It's just a surge, Becky. Yeah. Right the way.
Yeah. Right the way. I'm fine. I can feel her pain. She's strangling me. And then Sandy, Becky's mum, was behind her, giving her a massage. And then, yeah, so I'd phone mum, thinking that mum would be at my house. All of a sudden, knock on the door. Yeah. Mum comes in. Now it's a party. So mum sat there getting drinks, talk about her day. So, but mum's actually really helpful, both of them. It's really funny. I had this thing in my head. I think it's just something that when you pick up on shows and you watch things, like, this is my room. Mm-hmm. You're out there. I'm in here. This is my baby. This is your man.
Well, it's also a bit of hypnobirthing birthing as well, you know, to make your space. It's your...
But actually, if mum and Sandy weren't there, I don't know if I would have actually been able to do everything that would needed to be done. But it was funny because I remember Becky wanted a water birth and I think it was like 21-hour labour. But at the end, she was in the pool. I swear there must have been no other births that night because every single midwife from the ward was in there. Like they sold tickets. Parker was like half in, half out of the water. And the midwife went to me, oh, do you want to pull him out? The water was grim. Like, very grim.
Did you have clothes on?
There's a little fishing net for that.
Oh, no. We were past that. It's like literally...
All the gunk.
Everything.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was out. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to throw Becky under the bus.
it happens.
Did you take your trunk so you could get in?
No.
Some men do.
Some men do.
Men get naked in there.
Those men
the top. Was that?
Yeah. Oh my God, she knows about Tom. She knows about Tom.
No, he's so firmly outside.
That's why they come out of five colours in her hair. But yeah, so we didn't find out what he was going to be. It was a surprise. And so when I pulled Parker out, probably the only way of putting it, and then the midwife was like, I'll put him straight on Becky so he can feel her warmth. Mm. And then Becky's like, well, what is it? I was just so convinced it was going to be a girl as karma for years of me being a
player.
Finish that sentence.
George already did. I was a bit softer than that, but wrongly guided by my sisters. And yeah, I was so surprised. And then I remember about the skin on skin. So I did skin on skin afterwards, and Parker's first thing he did was wee on me.
Oh, oh nice.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the karma.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That was all right. Take that.
That's it.
That is it.
Can you
smite me or money won?
Can you both remember how you felt holding your little one for the first time?
I won't lie, Joanna. I was off my tits. C-section. I was on the morphine as well. And I remember Harriet messaged me saying, make sure you take painkillers every 4 hours. Otherwise, you're going to wake up feeling like you've been hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Like a C-section is the worst thing ever. So any time I heard the trolley, I'd literally drag myself out of bed, like move the curtain. I was like, hiya, hiya. And I was like, can I have some of that stuff in my mouth again? She's like, that's really bad. It's the morphine.
Oh, what's going on? What is going on?
I was like, can I have some of the morphine? And she was like, how many have you had? I was like, one. And she was like, oh, I'll give you one more. But you're only supposed to have, which I learned the second time, you're only allowed it once.
Right. She just lost her job.
What's her name?
Yeah. And I literally...
Sorry, Maureen.
At one point, I couldn't remember what my name was. And I remember Dad coming to visit me, and he was asking me loads of... It's like he just waited for me to take the medication and then go, Georgie, sorry, what'd you have for lunch? I'm like... At one point, it was really weird. I was like hallucinating. I remember looking over at their little... bassinet thing that's obviously clear, isn't it? And I thought I saw her pressed up against it. So I jumped out of bed, obviously she had a C-section and she's just nice bundled up asleep. I was like, oh my God, I literally just like ripped my stitches to like check. Yeah, but I was like overdosing on painkillers. So yeah, I didn't really feel much for ages.
Didn't someone ask you what you'd had and you told them that you'd had a boy?
Oh yeah, she came in and she was like, oh, what did you have? I said, oh, a little boy. She's like, what did you call him? I was like, oh, Summer Ray. So it's a girl. I was like, yeah.
Whatever you had, can we take out our next night out with some limoncello? That sounds like a really good night.
To be fair, they give me some of it to take home. But once I was in the room, I knew what was going on. It's amazing. It's so weird when I remember her being on me and then you're just there thinking, oh, my God, it's so weird that you've now there's someone else like in your life.
Yeah.
And I remember us going back to yours in the morning, like somebody's asleep and says, Lee. And it's so weird. Mm. Like there's someone else there. Forever. Like you're here, you're like, who the fuck's that? Oh, yeah, yeah, I've got a baby. But it's amazing, isn't it? Mary, how did you feel?
Well, mine wasn't as dangerous as that.
You ran off your tits.
I wasn't. Unfortunately, I was off my tits. It's an idea for next time.
That's the one bonus of having the baby.
Yeah.
You get all the drugs.
Well, Becky, we're in this together. Give me some. Like I said, we did skin on skin. But it was amazing. I remember, yeah, it's like Georgie said, all of a sudden there's an extra person that you're responsible for. Mm. And I think as dads, I think it's a lot harder for us to connect with the baby at the start.
Well, there's a big pressure, I think, on that bond, on that initial bond of, like, I think it's a big picture-perfect movie moment. You meet your baby and life is complete and there's the endless love and whatever else. But actually...
It wasn't that.
It's a stranger that's suddenly in your arm. They might have been inside you for a woman, but there's not necessarily a connect.
No.
That it doesn't connect. Your brain can't connect the dots straight away.
No, and I think Becky had Parker inside of her, growing him for 9 months, you automatically have that connection and that bond.
Yeah.
A lot more than what I would have had. So even though it was amazing when he was first there, I felt really left out because I was a bit like, kind of feel like you two have kind of been together now.
Especially
you're
breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even that, I tried, but...
They nipples again.
Gotta get him in. Didn't go for it. But no, there were so many things you do feel left out as a man. And loads of people said to me, like loads of guys, and they were like, "Oh, you won't have that connection."
Really?
When you first told you about it, you won't have that connection. Wait till like 6 months when they start giving you something back, then you'll feel it. I didn't know what they were talking about because as soon as I held Parker, I did have that connection. Yeah, I felt left out on stuff like breastfeeding and the fact that for 9 months. Well,
you miss Becky's boobs. That's why he's left out.
Still do. But yeah, I don't know what they were talking about because I instantly had that.
Yeah.
This whole thing of like a new thing of purpose and a whole new like drive and just, you kind of feel not complete, but I don't know, it's like most things in life, it's just, words don't describe it. It's like a...
Accomplishment, isn't it?
Kind of like that, yeah. Yeah, I feel like it. I don't know how to put it because until you've been in that scenario, I guess it's a really hard thing to word. I just had this euphoric feeling that, you know, he's finally here.
Yeah. Diving into parenthood, has it been what you thought it would be?
Better. Oh, and up and down, really, actually.
Some moments
are better than I imagined.
Yeah.
And then I'm definitely testing my patience. I would say I'm quite an impatient person, but having children, sometimes I think, oh, you're really patient then. And the next day I'm like, where's my patience gone? Is that weird?
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. And also, I wonder if that's because after years of doing it, you suddenly realise that actually if you act impatiently with your child...
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Nothing works. No. Yes, yeah, so you've got to give it that patience if you want
to. If you can take
on
yourself out of the situation, which is easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah.
And also, we're half Wessex, half Italian. Do you know what I mean?
That's and a
whole, I mean, that's a whole lot of fire right there.
Yeah, right. Very passionate. So, yeah, sometimes it's just... I think it's all about what's going on in your life at that time as well.
Yeah.
Is this, you've just seen an email you need to respond to, but you can't at that moment. It plays in your mind, doesn't it?
Mm. Trying to separate the two.
Yeah.
Has it been what you thought it would be, Mo?
It's as rewarding as I thought it would be.
Mm.
It's a lot more challenging than I thought it would be. Like Georgie said, patience is a key one. I think when you're trying to tackle the other obstacles of life, like work and stuff, but you're also trying to look after a child, the two just do not go hand in hand.
No.
And if I'm on a call, for instance, and I'm trying to work, for some reason, Parker, who's been quiet for the last hour...
Yeah, that's what they do.
...wants to be really noisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more challenging. I'd say on the rewarding side, I feel like when someone compliments your child, not on what they look like, on their character... That's the biggest compliment someone can actually give you, not about yourself or anything. When someone compliments your child on the way if they're compassionate or if they're kind or anything like that, it's actually the nicest thing because it's actually, even though you know you're doing your best as a parent and as everyone is, it's the nicest compliment because you know you're actually doing a good job.
Yeah,
I've never really believed in the thing of a good parent because I believe that parents actually, there's no such thing as a good parent. As soon as you decide to be a parent, everything you do, going above and beyond, providing everything like that, giving them your time, is actually what you should do. That's what you signed up for. That's what being a parent is.
Mm. I think it's full of much more doubt than I initially thought it would be. Like the amount of times I put the kids to bed and just been like, oh, I should have done this differently. Maybe I didn't do that right. Or, yeah, The guilt, doubt. This isn't all of it.
I'd say guilt's a big one.
Yeah, but I'd say a lot of things, though. In the moment, we take it worse than what the children do. Yeah. I remember once I snapped at Summer Rae, and then I sat her down and was like, Mum didn't mean to snap. I thought, I'm going to explain exactly what was going on. Yeah. I talked to her for like 5 minutes. I was holding her hands, and then she just looked at me and went, can I have an orange? I was like, she really didn't even care. It made me feel better, but she didn't.
But don't you think that's really good? It's like being able to say sorry to your kids.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Like, I know.
I think you need to acknowledge your behaviour. Like, yeah. If I'm telling her, you know, you shouldn't have done that to Dylan, whatever, yeah. Then I need to accept when I'm maybe not on my best.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sorry with my kids.
Yeah.
It's just that I can pull my teeth out and ask you to say sorry for half an hour, an hour.
Yeah.
It means
unless you mean
nothing.
It, what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't got accountability as well.
Yeah, yeah. They have to feel it. So I feel like actually, rather than me doing that, I'd rather say sorry for when I do things, you know, in a wrong way or, you know, in a way that I could have acted better. Mm. And maybe that's better modelling than just standing over them for half an hour going, you're not doing anything until you say sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Summer and Dylan had an argument the other day, and Summer Rae's go-to is always, you're not coming to my birthday party.
No.
And Dylan went, you already had your party. That's a great comeback.
And I was there.
I offered her your present. It was really funny.
Didn't realise Dylan was Jamaican.
If you could write a letter on being a mum or a dad, who would it be to and what would you say?
I think I'd write a letter to my kids,
mm-hmm.
just saying if one day you are a parent, it will all make sense.
Mummy's behaviour.
You'll understand.
You deserve
it. Because I have learnt loads
why
now.
Why mummy drinks?
Part five.
Why can't share mummy's drinks after all? Because I look back now and I think, oh, that's why mum used to get really annoyed about that. You know, that's the little things. And I think until you become a parent, you don't realise those little things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like why things happened.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's the thing as well. I think being parents ourselves, I've learned a lot more about mum and dad and how much they did for us.
Yeah.
Being a parent, how hard it actually is.
Yeah, and decisions
everything.
That we have to make that they had to make.
Yeah, and they're life-changing decisions as well, like things like schools, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's just such a big decision. It doesn't, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So I respect them for that, yeah.
Mm. Mario, your letter?
Probably to Becky. Because I think that there's stuff that, as men, we probably don't... I know for myself, actually, sort of as men, that I don't say to her enough about how good of a parent she is and how much our house wouldn't tick the way in which it does without her.
Mm.
So I probably write a letter to her, probably thanking her and just saying things that maybe I should say a bit more.
Go home and tell her tonight.
We'll probably be drunk, won't we?
Becky, got something to tell you.
Oh, yeah, so amazing!
We'll leave her voice there.
Meeting Becky completely changed your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It changed who you are as a person and, like, it brought out the best of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Becky herself and then becoming
it. It sounds like a cliche, but it's true.
It does.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Cliches are cliches because they're...
Cliches.
Yeah.
There's a quote. You finished it, guys. I did not say cliches. I did not say that.
That's the caption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you looking at me? I'm
okay. I just love Becky. It's all fine. Yeah. And I would like you to finish these three sentences, okay? Georgie, being a mum means?
Never weeing alone.
Nice. Mario, being a dad means?
Because there's that really heartfelt now.
No, I'm not. Actually not. Well, to a boy, it means winding up Becky as much as possible. I love it. I've got someone who does this thing called bum in the face. And I'm all for it. It doesn't do it to me. I'm like, no, Daddy, should you do a bum in the face? I'm like...
Oh, lucky Becky.
So what does that being a dad mean to me? Bum in the face.
Summarise.
Nice. Since having children, I...
haven't slept.
Yeah. I'm so tired.
Drunk loads.
Yeah.
Okay, lacking sleep, but lots of drink.
Lacking sleep.
And I'm happy when...
the kids are laughing together. Mm. I love it when Lee and I are kind of there, but not in their situation, and they're chatting together and having a laugh about something. I love it. You made the two little humans... And the other day somebody said, Dylan's my bestie. I said, one day you'll be able to go to the cinema and stuff with Dylan. So not like boyfriend and girlfriend. Like brother and sister.
That's hilarious. That's funny.
I'm happy when?
I'm happy when Parker's happy. It's that simple. Like, for me now, with obviously another baby on the way, everything that Georgie just described and everything I see with your boys and with each other, I can't wait for Parker to have that. Mm. So I'm happy when is now. I know I've got that to look forward to.
Yeah. One more thing. Obviously, we've become parents, mm-hmm. but Mum and Dad have become grandparents, and that's a very different role. Mm. I spoke to Dad about the fact that when our kids are there, they can jump on the sofa, and we wouldn't
have
to do.
Yeah, God.
But seeing Dad come alive in a different way in a park and becoming, like, almost becoming kids themselves, mm-hmm. it's a very... for me, I think it's a very interesting transition to no longer be... Well, to still be the parent, but actually, above that, you're a grandparent. And it's a very different role.
I think as parents, you want to be fun, but at the same time, you have to set boundaries as their parents. Mm-hmm. That's your role. Unfortunately, you can't always be the fun, good cop. You have to be the bad cop. That's just part of the role. Whereas grandparents don't have to do that. Yeah. They can be the fun.
Yeah.
And they've earned that right because they've gone through the process of doing what we're doing now where we have to be good and bad.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks, guys.
It's 10 past 12. It feels lovely. I'm gonna have so much limoncello.
Guys, thank you. You finally made it onto Happen My Baby podcast. How was it?
I was gonna say sorry to your listeners that this didn't happen sooner. But some things are just worth the wait. Yeah. And we're not alcoholics. We're only joking.
Yeah, we're only joking. Thank you for having us, Jonah.
That's okay.
And thanks for the vodka.
Come on, let's go have lunch and figure out what podcast we can do together. Come on.
Cheers.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.